Hey, Corey.
Hey, Rachel.
Guess what?
What?
So I'll tell you how I'm doing. Not well, bitch.
Wow.
I mean,
we're bringing out the housewives.
It's been a minute.
It has.
Stop getting vaginal rejuvenation and put an easy pass on that vagina with your Holland tunnel.
Wow.
Yeah, thought it would be a good way to start. I really need to freshen that up.
Catty.
Really need to freshen up that soundboard. Because there's so much more.
Well, I know one thing you can put on there.
What's that?
You could say, "What's up, ding dongs?"
Put that on the
soundboard. Or, you know, shout out to all the kittens and quarry heads out there.
He's good for you. How do you know what's good for me? That's my opinion.
Well, one thing that's good for all is discussion of cinema. Heard of it, folks? It's an art form that tells narratives. Of a sort. Sometimes.
One would think until I went to the movies last night, which we're about to get to in a second.
Hold it.
We got a fight.
Oh, there is going to be a fight too.
We're going to get to a fight.
But
this is the Side Talks podcast.
That's right. And we talk about movies. We fight about movies. We're about to fight about a movie.
I'm Rachel Morgan.
I'm Corey Kraft. Aforementioned ding dongs, hello, etc. Let's just jump into it.
Why not?
All right. Get ready for a five-minute fight.
Five-minute.
Round one. Fight.
Oh, five-minute fight.
It's time for a five-minute fight.
Brad, I'm just letting you know. You start the timer, please. I saw one of the worst films I've ever seen in my entire life, and that includes student films and watching tons and tons of films for not just this film festival, but others. And it was real, real fucking bad. Corey
liked it. You're not even going to like say anything else. All right. The film in question is...
No, I will say something else, which is that this film is not a reflection on how any lesbian has ever lived their life, even in a cartoon version, ever.
So that's a pretty big hint. The film is Drive Away Dolls, directed by Ethan Coen. At least according to the DGA credit, it's a collaboration between Coen and his wife, Trisha Cook, who is a queer woman who has drawn from her own experiences to write the film Drive Away Dolls.
The queer woman married to one of the Coen brothers has drawn from her lesbian experience. Everybody can be mad at me for not being sex positive, but they have no fucking business making this movie. I was totally offended. Let's get a bunch of straight people.
Why on earth were you offended?
It's
too silly to be offensive.
You can still be silly and be offensive. I mean, there's a long list of people we could reference right there. It's so stupid, Corey, and it was cringy. It was embarrassing. It was hard to watch. And that accent, let me just start there. I could win this fight on the accent alone.
No, the accent's great. Margaret Qualley is the lead. She has adopted a Nicolas Cage in Raising Arizona style exaggerated cartoon Texas
blasphemy.
Accent. It is super funny. She is, I think, kind of brilliant in this movie. It is a messy movie, unquestionably. I don't know that I agree with all of the sort of post-production choices. Some of the edits, for instance, are kind of odd, but it is a madcap Coen caper with a sort of sexy, horny edge to it. That has a lot of really appealing lead performances. Geraldine,
I've never been less turned on in my life. Like, literally never been less turned. Like high school boy dates were more of a turn on than this.
So,
in case you didn't know, I'm fucking gay.
I'm not sure I understand your objection ultimately. Like, specifically, you find it offensive because it's not reflective of your experience?
That is really, really unfair. I think I'm telling you.
Okay.
But I think that when you have these, you know, this sort of these sex scenes and these sort of like very whimsical, like I'm gonna unhook the dildo from the wall. That's our wall dildo.
That's such
like
a that funny. Kind
of, it's not funny at all. It's just not funny. And it's also just not even like, it's one of those things where it's like, we're going to make a bunch of lesbian jokes, you know, aha, U-Haul. Like, we've heard it. It's so stupid. U-Haul is at least accurate. The jokes in this film are just not even accurate. In order for a lesbian joke to be funny, it needs to be accurate. And it also shouldn't be overplayed. These are both overplayed and inaccurate. And it's just this whimsical ride that is just not fucking fun. And you're right. The editing is sloppy.
I thought it was a hoot. I don't know what to tell you. I laughed pretty hysterically throughout it in the same way that I've always laughed at their more larkish sort of capers. Look, the Coens are my favorite filmmakers.
I love the Coen brothers. This is not a Coen brothers film.
Well, one of them.
This does not go into the canon with their other work. No, you cannot hold this up to something like Raising Arizona.
No, it's certainly not as good as Raising Arizona, but for a sort of self-professed B movie with that comic energy.
Oh, see, that's what's annoying too. We're going to make a B movie with Matt Damon.
It's 80 minutes long.
Let's make a fucking B movie Okay, you know what? I'll give it 1 point for a decent runtime. But they also they barely had the gas in the tank for that. They didn't know what else to do. It's like it's a handful of lesbian jokes strung together about Tallahassee, Florida. Going to Tallahassee, Florida. It's so fucking offensive. It's so stupid.
Wait.
It's offensive to Southerners too. And I get it.
Like, it is in no way offensive to Southerners.
Yeah, it is.
Cry me a river. No.
Exactly. I hear what you're saying. Like, nobody feels bad, you know. It's just like nobody feels bad.
But how on earth, these characters are given dignity. I mean, the comedy is not at their expense. I don't really understand.
It's sometimes at their expense.
No, it will.
But also, I don't care because the characters are completely unlikable. I don't have any, there's zero sexual tension between these two.
I don't agree with that.
Just because there's two attractive women in a car together does not put sexual tension in the space.
No, but like the contrast, of course, in those performances, the more sort of reserved performance from Geraldine Viseth, I'm sorry, I fucked that up.
It also starts
and then Margaret Qualley, you know, being very, very silly, playing, you know, lesbian fucking the road runner for all intents and purposes.
There's
for
so
most
many
of the
little
movie.
Trappings that really bother me, and that's one of them. There's this kind of idea that like lesbians can't be friends with each other, right? That it's always going to go into a romance, and this is clearly been a buddy film. Probably should have been a buddy film. I still wouldn't have liked it, but it should have been a buddy film. But no, there has to be some kind of romance between the two.
It's a romantic comedy.
There's no chemistry between these two human beings.
So you would have liked it if it had been completely different in every aspect. Absolutely, is what I'm getting.
It is almost impossible to get me to like this film because it's a miserable shit show of taped together bullshit.
Well, I did walk out of this screening thinking that we were eventually going to have a 5-minute fight on that movie. I truly never expected that you would enjoy it.
I went with my friend Candace, who also had the same issues that I had.
Sure.
And both of us looked at each other 20 minutes in and said, should we leave? And I stuck it out just because I'm like, I'll just give a little bit of respect to the people who've contributed to this film, but it did not get better. I was right. It was on a particular path. It never left that path. It is a terrible fucking movie.
Will no one save Curly? That's a reference to that movie. It's so good.
It's so funny.
Bill Camp.
Podcast
Coleman
at sidewalkfest.com.
Funny.
Please listen to me when I tell you that you have got to see this because the way that Corey's describing it is it's kinder to it than and even that sounds miserable. Anyway, go ahead, Brad.
I mean, what the fuck, you guys? How am I supposed to do this?
You got to go see Drive Away Dolls.
Okay.
Or according to Rachel, not.
Can we let the...
I want you to see it just because I want you to... 20 minutes in, you're going to be like, oh, Corey.
I would be shocked, Brad. Just because I saw you at the booth giggling at the words, wall dildo. If you weren't cracking
that's
up
true. It
at
make me laugh,
hearing
but
characters talk about the wall dildo as the wall dildo is very prominently portrayed in
they
frame.
They hold the shot just in case. Did you get it? Did you? That's what it feels
but
like.
It's not,
did
it's
you
not,
get it? Did you get it? Did you get the joke? Did you get the joke?
There's a wall dildo, and it's that Beanie Feldstein is using a power drill to to unhook the wall dildo as she is sobbing in fury. It is so fucking funny. I don't know. I mean, I'm a simple man. If I see a dildo, I'm going to laugh at it. What am I going to, what do I tell you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that explains it then. By nature, a dildo is just not funny to me. It's just not. It's like, okay, that's a thing that exists in the world. I don't look at that and laugh. It's not funny to me.
Right. Then, it makes sense that this film with its plot progression is not necessarily
your favorite.
It's kind of
like, here's the other thing. It's in line with this. Like, just because somebody tells a weed joke doesn't mean a weed joke. So there's so many weed jokes in films, and like every weed joke is not funny. Just because it's weed, we're all going to laugh. Just because it's a dildo, we're going to laugh. That's what it feels like. Like, pull out the weed joke, pull out the dildo joke. You know, when you're eight, pull out the diarrhea fart joke, you know? Like, I would never not laugh at a diarrhea joke when I was eight. And now I'm like, it's just, okay, I laughed my ass off at 8 years old at diarrhea, now I'm over it.
Right. Oh. Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch the movie.
All right.
You said it was Coen Brothers, right?
Ethan alone. Or just alone. Ethan. Okay. Ethan in collaboration with his wife.
Well, I'll go see it just for that. And for right now, maybe we can have some sort of conversation later after I watch it. But
that's fair.
Right now, just for the passion involved here, I'm going to give it to Rachel.
Yeah. Yeah. And then probably again when you see this damn thing.
Listen, look. If y'all don't like it, I'm going to sleep fine tonight. Like, it's drive away dolls for Corey. That's what I have to say.
I'm not losing sleep over the fact that you did like it. So that we're even there.
Fair.
Fucking A. I mean, you know, if you like a dildo joke, go right ahead.
And there are honestly 45 dildo jokes in the movie. Exactly. So, you know, sure, if that's not your speed, that's not your speed. But I thought it was
fun. Do I have to use the dick jar every time someone said dildo?
Yes. Yes, I'm afraid so. Yeah, God damn it. Hey, and also, Brad.
A lot of work cut out for you.
Dildo.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's a cringy fucking movie.
Attention, please.
Music, our music times three segment, bitches. So I have a question for y'all. Brad's in the studio on the other side of the glass.
All right.
Hey, Brad.
Is that a saying? Like, on the other side of the glass?
It is, yeah.
I like that. And I'm asking a music question today. And that question is this. What sort of lyrics are we tired of or shtick or, you know, the sort of, I don't know, what gimmicks that you might hear in music? What are we really sick of, could do without, doesn't need to happen again?
I'll let you go first.
Oh, Jesus. I was hoping you wouldn't.
Well, because I realize now I'm going to go off on kind of a tangent.
No, please do that.
He's a musician, so he knows.
For me, it's, and this is not new.
Yeah.
But can we stop, music industry, stop using TikTok as a...
Oh, yeah.
As a...
Sure. It's like a barometer for success. Or
not just barometer for success, but like... finding new talent.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Is that really happening?
Yeah.
So it was happening. I mean, that's how we have Justin Bieber, right? I'm not speaking against Justin Bieber, actually. I actually kind of like some pop. I like some of Justin Bieber's music.
Hell yeah.
I'm not arguing against him. I'm just saying he was a YouTube discovery, right?
Right.
And so is that same kind of thing happening now on TikTok?
Yes, but I think this is worse because I'm just going to go ahead and go full old man on this whole thing. At least, like, Justin Bieber at least was part of his coming up was also he was performing live. Like, he was doing shit. Like, he was doing the stuff you normally do to get a career going. Whereas now it's people, you know, getting record deals because they came up with one catchy little song.
I had no idea. I actually had no idea.
20 seconds on TikTok and they're getting a manager
or possibly
a record deal or, and I'm not saying it's rampant, but it's enough to kind of go like, fuck, this might be the end of the world.
Well, I did know that there's this thing happening. I'm not on TikTok. I can't stand it. I hate to say this, but the people around me who use it really bothers me that they use it. I'm always like, please put that away. Please put that away. It's so annoying. It's like watching somebody do drugs, right? You're just like, please quit doing that drug. Like, makes you miserable.
Yeah.
Like, you're just not as fun when you're on that drug. Don't do it anymore. That's how I feel. And that includes my mom. Mom, quit doing the TikTok drug. Right. Please stop.
that's when it's weird. It's like, if to me, this is judgy, but if you're over the age of 23 to 25 and you're really into TikTok, I think that's a little weird.
You just judge my mom, dude.
I did. Yeah.
I mean, I'm judging her too. Just like, but it is a thing where it is this kind of weird, like, it's really popular, seems to be, with a lot of older folks, and then it's really popular with a lot of really younger folks. And that middle ground, I mean, I'm not suggesting there's nobody in that middle ground, just saying you see this sort of, this rainbow's end on either side, if you will.
No judgment from me, Mrs. Morgan. I think you should use TikTok.
Yeah, you just want my mom to continue to be like, please be nice to Corey. I did know, though, that there's this, like, finding a particular song and using, like, a couple of, you know, 20 seconds from the song, mm-hmm. and then that song goes viral again. Yeah. You know, it could be something from the 80s. Or
I think that's cool.
You do.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, there are, that there are new... Yes.
Okay.
I can't shit on the whole thing. There are new artists or people I have even... found, quote unquote, because of a 15-second clip on a reel on Instagram, because that's the only thing I have. But they were already an artist with three records out, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, some of it's just like it could be the Eagles or something. Is what I'm, you know what
sure,
I mean?
Sure.
But it's just
getting
like looped. Other people are picking it up.
Didn't that just happen with Fleetwood Mac and Dreams, like during the pandemic?
Well, I mean, Dreams never went away, though.
No, but like...
I know what you mean, though.
The kids
started
found
charting
out about Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. It's weird to think that they didn't know already. But it started charting again, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah, that's the point, yeah.
That dude, it was that dude...
The dude drinking the cranberry juice.
Juice on the skateboard.
We were he was thirsty and we were thirsty.
That's very
true. We were thirsty for some content in that moment. Because when you look at that, you're like, that no other time would anybody have cared... That dude was listening to that song on, like, it was just a moment.
Yeah, those were the Tiger King days, right?
Right, when everybody was a show I've never seen, actually. Which
really?
I had a different pandemic than everybody else.
Kind of applaud that. That's
I had a little
nice.
Bit of a different pandemic. So, is that's your main thing now? You don't mind auto-tune? Is that something that
because you can use that that can be a musical thing, right? Like,
yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, like, it doesn't, I'm not. It's very prolific. I'm not bothered by it like some people are.
Sure.
So I wouldn't use that as my example of something I want to see go away. But
right.
yours is this TikTok fame thing, if you will.
Yeah, it's driving me crazy.
So mine is a lyric.
Okay.
Mine, this like, and I heard it the other day, which is actually what sparked this question for everybody.
I was wondering what sparked the question.
I just was driving along and I'm like, you know what lyric I don't ever need to hear again is that, and this is graphic, so we've already had a graphic segment, I feel like. We talked a lot about dildos in the last little bit. But this is that line that's like, hit it from the back. And I just, I'm so, don't want that lyric in a song ever again.
Is that common?
Yes. Oh my God, I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
It's like hit it in the back, hit it from the back, or hit. Yes, that it comes up a lot in music. I've heard it in several songs. It, to the point where it pinged, where I was like, oh, fine
it's
song.
It's a very like pop, hip hop kind of.
Yeah.
I just.
Trope, yeah.
Maybe I am, like, this is like Pleasantville, but I would appreciate a little, like, could we, not that music in the 50s is clean, because I mean, there's some nasty stuff.
The super rapey stuff,
yeah,
too.
Super, yeah, super, super nasty stuff. But I just, sometimes I'm just like, could we just kind of keep some of that shit out of music and just let me enjoy a song without having to hear some, you know, R-rated content?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's kind of, I think that's my main thing. That I'm tired of.
These darn kids with their foul mouths.
I know. We are going real old.
No, I don't listen to that. I mean, I have nothing to contribute to this because I don't listen to contemporary music. That's how much of a cranky old bastard I am.
Right.
Like, unless The National has contributed some way to it.
Yeah.
And I don't think Matt Berninger is including Hit It From The Back in any of those
probably
lyrics.
Not.
Thank you for that, The National. Thank you.
Yeah, they're just like referencing John Cheever, but not talking about hitting it from the back. Unexplored territory. They need to consider as artists if they want to evolve in that direction, perhaps. Or not.
No.
Do you have anything to add to this conversation?
I really don't. I was thinking of like stuff that irritates me about contemporary music, and like I just don't listen to it. I don't know. I didn't watch the Grammys. Like when I saw the headline of people who won Grammys other than Taylor Swift, I was like, I'm just going to smile pleasantly and nod and just excuse myself from this conversation because I have nothing.
I didn't watch them.
I don't know
I can't
any
remember
of those
the last
people.
Time I watched the Grammys.
Taylor Swift announced she's got a new album coming out. Okay, sure, I'll listen to it. One thing that irritated me about Taylor Swift in particular is we watched the Eras Tour movie at home, and it was about, I would say conservatively, 15 hours long, and I objected to that as someone who does not know those songs and is not like a hardcore Swiftie.
Raise my hand and say, it's 3.5 hours, not 15 for one, and I enjoyed every minute of it, and I was sad when it was over, and I wanted another hour, so that's my take on that.
I'm not a Swiftie like you are. I don't know this music already, so I was just like, that's a pleasant song, that's good, like that one, maybe not so much that one. Oh, this is still going on, huh?
You also watched it at home.
Yeah, I did watch it at home.
That's fine. I'm not objecting to people watching it at home. You should watch it however you can see it. But I do think that it's intended. It's a live show that was released theatrically, intended to be watched in a room with a lot of fans. And it's a different experience.
I would have gotten itchy.
I will say, I watched it in the theater and it was good.
Yeah.
It was fun. I would not have enjoyed it nearly as much if I'd watched it at home.
Yeah, I'm sure that was the case.
That's for sure.
Yeah, but it's like anything else, but just, no, it was long. But I'll listen to the new record. Sure. You know, I don't know. I'm just
that doesn't
like
answer this question at all. I'm just acknowledging this doesn't.
I really don't have anything to contribute.
Let me ask, when do you feel like you stopped
paying attention? Yeah, that's a good question.
To
like new contemporary music or new music. Oh, I don't know. Like when I got into my late 20s and I discovered a lot of bands that I liked, I just kind of focused in on those bands. And like, I'll listen to the new work by those bands, right, and I'll listen to them if they collaborate with other artists. And I try to expand that purview, you know, all the time by discovering new artists. But that is very seldom. There's very seldom any sort of crossover with sort of big marketable contemporary pop music of the sort, I think, that is most heavily promoted on TikTok and or the Grammys. Right. I just, you know, like I listened to like the Boy Genius record, right?
Which cool.
I thought was great. Really good stuff. But like, I don't know if Phoebe Bridgers has gone quite like, you know, she hasn't at least reached a point in my consciousness where I'm, you know, breaking down everything that she does or like digging further into that scene.
I got you.
I don't know. It's like everything else. I got my blind spots, and my blind spots in music happen to be massive, unless Bryce Dessner is involved. I don't know.
I think so much great music's being made now. I love discovering new music. I think, and I'm a big pop music fan. Like I do think Miley Cyrus's recent album, like Endless Summer Vacation, I think it's exceptional. I really, really,
she's great.
Yeah. I really, really love that album. And, I mean, that's just one example, but I also, you know, like Corey, I mean, I'm still listening to shit from my childhood, and I'm absolutely listening to stuff from my parents' childhood even. I actually love like classic rock and roll, and I love like, you know, like true classic rock and roll, like from the 1940s and 50s. Like, I'm also a big fan of big band. Like I like big band a lot.
Yeah.
But you know, it's there's a lot of really, really good stuff. So I wonder what it is that keeps you kind of, Corey, from wanting to go down those roads.
There are too many gosh darn movies that need to be watched.
Yeah. I hear that. Well, you know, I went and saw our friend Bradford. Uh-huh. He DJed at Mom's Basement, which is a local bar here for folks who are listening outside of Birmingham, the other night. And I went and I wasn't much in the mood to go out, but I did a little stop by because he was in town doing that. And I was there for like 45 minutes to an hour. And he was playing some, you know, stuff from my high school days, like Echo and the Bunnymen. I mean, right. go ahead and start dating me now. I mean, not dating like dating, but like dating as in my age. And here's what was cool. And I had this conversation with my students in class when we were talking through listening to music and how music has evolved, and how, like, when we listen to, for example, Mozart in a big auditorium like the Alice Stevens Center, that's no offense to them. They're welcome to come on as a sponsor if they'd like, but that's not really how Mozart was intended to be listened to, right? You're supposed to, it was written to be listened to in a small room place. With like big drapes and heavy clothing. And so we're never going to hear it in that way. Mm-hmm. Again, really, like you're not going to experience it. So if you don't like classical music, why would you? You're probably not listening to it in the space that it was originally performed on or written for, right? So we're sort of talking through that, and one of the things, and then the evolution all the way through disco, where if you don't like disco, well, maybe you would have liked it if you'd been listening to it in the middle of Studio 54. Do you know what I mean? With that sound system and with those people around
and
you, it's a social
environment.
Yeah, it's a social cocaine coursing.
Well, yeah, but it's a social music. I mean, it was made for that drug, and it was made on that drug. So you know, but anyway, my point is that at Mom's, it was so cool to hear songs that now have been so played out for me. Like I can't hear that Echo and the Bunnymen album again, and yet hearing it in that space. with tons of people, on a really good, a really specific sound system, sure. Right? That sound system for that space and really, really loud. I was like, oh man, I'm like experiencing this again. And this is like, it's kind of taking me back to listening to that 1986 stereo that I had in my bedroom. What a different experience that was, but it almost felt like it was connected because that first experience of listening to something like Echo and the Bunnymen and hear and being like, what is this? You know, and discovering that music then, it was a rediscovery, you know, and it was really, really cool to hear it in that space. I enjoyed it. I was kind of like, I was almost just like backing up against the wall and not even wanting to talk to anybody because I was just enjoying listening to music, you know?
Yep.
Anyway, I don't know how I got on that tangent, but.
No, I mean, I think what would be a quick example? Like, I know for me, if you listen to, and I'm not into jam bands, but this is the first thing that comes to mind, right? Like, you want to hear a jam band live. Even fans of jam bands, those people usually don't want to listen to the record.
Do they not?
Because it's not, and I mean the studio record, not a live album.
Yeah,
because it's not.
Like a bootleg or something they're probably throwing on, but they're not,
Yeah. They're not listening to Fish's third record because...
Yeah, I guess I hadn't really thought about it like that.
It's not the same environment. The band's not doing the...
Yeah.
Live bands, for example, whether they're jam bands or not, are great because they're great live bands and being in front of a crowd is part of what makes them... Mm-hmm. They feed off
Right?
And then there's studio bands like Steely Dan.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Like, right. Or, kind of like Miley Cyrus, speaking of, performed at the Grammys and everybody was like, wow, what a great performance. She actually has an amazing voice. Yeah. Whether you like her styling or not,
sure.
She is technically has a really incredible voice.
She's got a great voice.
But she hates touring.
Mm-hmm.
So it is one of those things where I do feel like the music is produced to be heard on that, mm-hmm. pre-recorded.
Yeah.
Not necessarily live, and though she's a great live artist too, but that music is like, there's something about that album that feels studio.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like when you listen to it, it's like hearing that clarity on a big sound system as opposed to being kind of lost in a live space is what's really kind of specific to it.
Yeah.
Anyway, off on a tangent there.
We did it.
Well,
we went everywhere.
I just feel relieved that I didn't have to contribute.
Because
it would just be I'm tired of David Byrne writing those nonsense lyrics that he wrote, 40 years ago, and I'm not tired of it. I'll never be tired.
But don't you get that? I guess that's what I'm asking for. It's really interesting to me because, for example, Talking Heads' "Take Me to the River," a song that I one point in my life really, really loved and would love to listen to, and would have stopped on it on the radio should it have come on. Probably had it on a mixed CD or mixed tape at some point. I know I did, and cranked it up really loud in my little 1974 Volvo. But now I don't even want to hear it again. If it comes on, I turn it. Not because it's not a great song.
Uh-huh.
I'm just really tired of it. I'm so tired of hearing it, which is why this last Saturday night was so fun because I'm like, oh gosh.
Reinvigorated that. Yeah.
But you don't get tired of it?
No.
Interesting.
Not the stuff that I love.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I could listen. I've listened to Radiohead's Kid A like 500 million times, and I could listen to
I'm
that
depressed
in full
just hearing
right
this.
Now. I mean, this is just like the shit that invigorates me, right?
Yeah.
Like Yankee Hotel Foxtrot by Wilco is a record I've heard 500 million times.
Mm-hmm.
We'll listen to it, perpetually for the rest of my life. When I sort of sink my claws into something, I don't let it go, and I don't put it on a shelf. I mean, it's been a minute for certain records, I guess, but if I'm listening on Spotify and like a song from one of my favorite records pops up, I'll listen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Creature of habit. What can I say?
I'm going to ask y'all a question now off the record and then we'll end it here. It'd be really dramatic. It's like it's like the ending to, what's that Margaret Brown film? The Order of Mists. This is just like the ending to The Order of Mists.
Yeah.
I'm about to ask you a question off the record.
Okay, cool.
Well, thank you for listening to the Side Talks podcast. We're your own personal cinematic D student and A student.
Is this in reference to any specific thing?
No, I just thought those are two different kinds of things.
They are two different kinds of things.
We're both teachers, but were you an A student or were you a D student?
I'll let
or
you guess.
You were an A student. I knew you were going to take it.
I mean, I'm not like rare, like give me that as a sort of thing I would apply to myself, but like, no, I got A's.
Yeah. I will take D student, even though I was actually a D student. I was a sort of A through D student, yeah, actually in high school.
Had the spectrum.
I just didn't do any work in high school, to be honest.
Well, as I say to my students who are high schoolers themselves, you really ought to.
You know, that's funny that you say that. I don't have a single regret because I had, you know what my memories of high school are? I didn't give a shit what the grade said on the paper and the work was whatever. What I remember was like, you know, countdown to that bell ringing and going out with my friends to the mall and going to like Taco Bell after school. And those are beautiful memories. I wouldn't trade the grades for those.
I liked school. That's not
gonna of course you did.
That's not going to surprise anybody.
Dork.
We're both educators. Don't call me a dork for enjoying school.
Dork. No, when I got to college, I made A's. But I...
No, college is when I...
College is a different world, right?
I let loose a little bit and probably shouldn't have, but, you know.
I was still letting loose. I figured out a little... I think I got to college and figured out balance, what balance means. How do you stay out till 4 a.m. and also make a movie?
Oh, Lord, stay out there till 4 a.m. Oh, my God.
It took me. I had to cut my teeth in high school.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're the A student.
Yeah.
What are you on about over there? You're just upset about college?
No, still? I don't like. I didn't like college.
Roll Tide.
I didn't like.
Did
college.
Did you not like college?
Not really. I loved college. I wasn't a college guy.
I loved college.
Especially now, like I was so caught up in like the journalism thing back then, and I am not super sad that part of my life is over.
Man, I love graduate school. I love college. Good times for me. Yeah. High school, I love the party. Yeah. But I did not love the school part. That was like a little prison. That was like getting sent off to a little prison.
There will be time to party once those A's were acquired, and then I didn't party.
That's what I'm saying, man. This is a cautionary tale, folks.
This is in no way a cautionary tale. We have ended up,
you know what the moral
precisely
of the story is?
In the same place.
You know what the moral of the story is?
What?
Party.
No, I don't think that's what the kids need to hear. I mean, within reason, I don't know. Do your homework. Everybody listening, do your homework. Brad and Beltwell Studios.
Were you a party high schooler?
Yeah. No, high schooler?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say it. No.
Yeah. Okay, interesting.
Not till really like maybe end of senior year in college.
It's all landing on me, folks.
Yeah.
I had to bring it home for you.
Well, you know, I mean, I've said several times on this podcast, my predominant extracurricular activity in high school was working. I had a job at the video store. I was a video store clerk kid. That was my, that's why I am the way I am in large part. So I was working and making a living, not partying.
Boring. Okay?
Paying for gasoline in my car.
Boring. I got a job a few times to pay for like speeding tickets and stuff. You know.
There you go.
Oh my God. Well, thanks to Brad and Batwell Studios.
Oh yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
And whether you're a party dude or responsible individual like myself, email us. We want to hear from you. That email address is podcast@sidewalkfest.com.
You got it.
Yeah, get tripped up there sometimes. Sidewalkfest.com, by the way, is where you can see our showtimes at the cinema, and you'll also want to follow us on social media at sidewalkfilm on Instagram and wherever the hell else we are. I'm sure you can find us. Anyway, anything else we need
peace
to say
out
here?
I'm trying to bring that back. I never said it back in the day, and now I want to get it. Okay. Peace out
everyone.
Batwell Studios Podcast Division. Your words, our expertise.